Okay, so I know that the show sometimes takes a tone of all over the place or goofy. And I'm not saying that this episode is not going to have goofy components. I don't know. We haven't done it yet. But I can tell you that this is sincerely the most important episode of this show we've ever done. If you listen to every single episode of this show, it'll take a few days of your life consecutively.
Yeah.
So that's a lot of hours of time and a lot of guests. And in this intro, this is going to be the first intro in a while that we don't even talk about the future guests. The only guest, honestly, that matters to me right now is Casey Quigley. And I had the pleasure, and we'll talk about this in greater detail on the actual episode. I mean, I'm sure you can hear the sincerity in my voice. This is fucking real. I had the pleasure of meeting Casey Quigley in Detroit at the stop of the Vans Warped Tour. My best friend in the world was with me, Dan Ferris. Shout out to Dan Ferris, but I'm not talking about a guest. He was my best friend for a reason I might even discuss on this show, because he was there for me during a very dark time in my life that off the record, I mean on the record actually, off the air, I told Casey why her company was so important to me because of losing my father to lung cancer. And Dan, to make a very, very beautiful story short, Dan was in New York with me, actually the weekend, like a few days before my father passed. And he flew back to Michigan the day my father passed, before my dad passed away. And when he got wind that my dad died, he got right back on a plane back to New York. So Dan is forever my favorite male on the planet. I would argue that Kelly, my wife, is the most important person in my life. But I mean, Dan is an extremely close second. And what Dan did for me touches me every day. And what Casey does for so many kids who are suffering stuff that we can't even imagine. I mean, right now I have a bottle of water in my left hand. I just drank tea. I live in a first world country. I wake up in a bed. I have air conditioning in my house. I can walk to my car. I have a car. My problems are nothing. They're fucking nothing. And I try not to lose sight of that. And I swear to you, this is not a planned speech. I wasn't even planning on talking about Dan. But Dan is my fucking person. And Casey is the Dan for so many people. And I got to witness, and we'll talk about this in greater detail. Maybe we'll even open with this. Casey with the band As It Is. Shout out to my buddy Ronnie Ish, who's a fucking awesome human who plays in As It Is. With a young girl who has suffered more than anyone in this room, there's three people in this room, could ever even fucking imagine. And I am honored that Casey drove up here from Orange County. I'd be honored if Casey literally lived a hundredth of a mile from here and showed up. I am so happy to talk to Casey Quigley and to learn more about the Living the Dream Foundation. And I implore every single person listening to this show to do one millionth of what she does on a daily basis and put goodness out there into the world. Do you have anything you want to say, Emily, before we interview her?
I mean, I don't really want to add to that.
I mean, you are adding to that by saying that.
Well, you know what I mean, but I think, and yeah, we always kind of start off these shows. They are fun, they're goofy, we go off in tangents and everything, but I think if anything, it's a very necessary episode, especially having to do with music, because music really, we talk about it in a way where it's our job, it's our 9 to 5, like this is what we do.
It's
This
how
is
we
what I
earn a
go to
living.
school for. Yeah.
You go to school for it, and it's how you literally make money, and it's how I pay my bills.
But there's people out there where it means so much more to them than just like, hey, I have to wake up and do this because like it's my job and I
It
want to
gets
make
them through their
money.
fucking lives.
Yeah. And I think like it's really important to kind of like remember like why we all do what we do and why people listen to music in the first place. So I think like this is a very necessary episode just to be like, hey, let's bring it back to earth. Like, music is more than just someone's getting signed to a record label, and
which is great for that band.
Yeah,
which is great for fans of that band, which is awesome. But my favorite song of all time is a song called Unprepared by a band called Superdrag, because literally every time I listen to it, I am comforted, and the antonym for comforted, and it touches me. And true, sincere music can touch you. And even songs that are pop songs by 150 writers, if that song makes you happy, then great. As long as you use it for good. And I think that Casey has done something so awesome that I really want to learn more. And this is her very first radio interview, podcast, whatever you want to call it. And Emily and I'm looking at Casey right now. She's looking at the wall because, I don't know, maybe she's crying. I don't know. But we are honored at Walden's Words, Emily Burke and Scott Waldman, and we are honored at Idobe to be a conduit for your business, which is more important than anything that we do. So we'll get to the interview with Casey. This is actually the longest intro we've ever done. It's almost 7 minutes. We normally do
like 3 minutes.
3 to 5 minutes. But I think it needed to be done this way.
I agree.
So we're not going to talk about when the next episode is on. We're not going to talk about who the next guest is. We're not going to talk about anything other than Living the Dream Foundation, Casey Quigley. And I'm sure we're going to have some moments where we're laughing, but thank you guys and girls and everyone right now for listening right now, because without a shred of doubt, I repeat, this is the most important Walden's Words that has happened and maybe even will happen. So stick around for Casey Quigley. Enjoy whatever commercials air. Enjoy whatever songs are played, and most importantly, enjoy your time on this planet, because you really never know what could happen. Stick around. All right, so that was definitely a combination of the longest and the most emotional intro for the show. I mean, I hear it in my voice because my voice is on my headphones. Like, it's a somber tone, but I swear to you, the pros outweigh the cons, and we're going to try to be as positive as possible, which is literally what Casey does with her life. So I want to start this by saying, hi, I'm Scott Waldman.
I'm Emily Burke.
And who are you?
I am Casey, and I'm with Living the Dream Foundation.
Well, you are living our dream of doing something culturally and sociologically substantive. So thank you for that. And I guess we can start this in kind of jumbled order. We'll get to what got you into music and what, I guess, pivoted you to your company. But how we met, because sometimes shows start like this, is it was only a few weeks ago at the Warped Tour stop in Detroit, where I was with my buddy Dan, who I spoke about in the intro. Casey was actually in the room for this intro. That doesn't always happen. But my buddy Dan and I went to Warped Tour, saw a number of bands. I had a bunch of friends on the tour, which is great. And I got to see some bands, which was great. And by far, the most powerful moment of that for us, and I'm speaking for the Dan and Scott Collective, was going to see the band As It Is. And my buddy Ronnie Ish, who plays in that band, we were fortunate enough to have, you know, the No Escort Needed band. So we're behind the stage, and there's some crew and some bands, and there's Casey, and I'll let you take it from there.
Yes, yeah, so Living the Dream Foundation is sort of like the Make-A-Wish for the music industry, just to kind of explain to you why I was at Warped Tour. And what we do is we take music fans that have terminal illnesses, and we give them all access VIP days backstage. So we take them on stage, backstage, meet and greets. They get to hang out with their favorite bands, just a whole day to kind of forget everything that they're going through and feel like a rock star for the day. So I was at Warped Tour. I have been taking kids out on Warped Tour for Dream Days for 10 years. And it's one of my favorite tours I have ever done. There is truly no community like the Warped Tour community.
Do you think it's because it's like, I know that you said that the kids feel like rock stars, but which I guess is a paradox, is like the Warped Tour is such a non-rock star tour.
It really is.
I played it, so I know.
Yeah.
And
it's a dichotomy in a sense that Warped Tour is, like you mentioned, is a place where humility and being humble is at the forefront of...
As it should be, for the record.
Absolutely.
In all music.
I agree.
Quote me.
Quote me.
Yeah.
So, we have such an incredible support group between the bands and the crew in the production office, and Kevin and his Forfini team really help.
You know, Kevin and Steph were both on the show, right?
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
We love them.
Yeah, no, that, I mean, especially with like Fendi and with, yeah. To Write Love. I mean, the list goes on and on, but back to you. I just wanted you to know, like, even the people listening, great, but I want you to know that this show is very, very Warped friendly. And so is nice. Adobe. So there you go.
Yeah, we love Kevin. So I was on Warped Tour doing a Dream Day, and in that particular show that you referenced, her name was Jessica. And she was a huge fan of the band as it is. And so I said, okay, cool, let's do it, let's make this happen. And she is, when I mean huge fan, I mean
super fan,
doesn't miss a show, knows every song, every word. And that band had really gotten her through unspeakable and difficult times. So I was like,
wait, quickly though, can you explain the depth of field in this, like, why did it get her through that? Like, what was she going through?
So Jessica was the ultimate As It Is fan, and I was super stoked to, you know, help make her dream come true, you know, give her a meet and greet, let her, you know, catch up with the singer Patty, and let her know, let him know how I'm sorry.
No, you don't need to apologize. This gets emotional.
Yeah.
So please, like, take your time delivering this, because this is important. And you've also, and admittedly, you've never done an interview before, and for the record, you're killing it. And this is heavy stuff.
Yeah. And yeah. So Jessica has spinal muscular atrophy, and there was recently a treatment approved for somebody that has that disease. And basically, what it is it's injection straight into your spine. And she doesn't get to get to be sedated during that.
You're cognizant.
Of what, everything that's happening. So you feel everything. It would be like me just giving you a spinal injection right now as you in your current state of mind. So it's incredibly painful.
I mean, there's certain surgeries that people have where they're put under, and thank fucking God, but certain ones they can't, because they need you to have certain neurological and motor functions present so that they know you're alive.
Right.
It's and, scary.
It's obviously a blessing and a curse. She's getting the help she needs, but there's no denying that this is very painful for her. So one of the ways that she gets through these procedures is she has this guitar pick from Patty. And when she goes into the hospital for these...
Sorry. Guitar pick, was she at a show?
And she had gotten it in the past, yep. So,
well, fuck yeah, Patty, you're awesome.
We love you, Patty. Thank you for that. So she wanted to meet him and tell him, or, you know, meet him again and tell him, hey, like, when you gave me that guitar pick, I take that with me to the hospital, and I hold on to that to get me through.
I just got a fucking shit ton of goosebumps. And I just almost drooled too, but I literally just got, wow. I mean, that's her security blanket.
Yeah, and she said, you know, can you help me, you know, can you help me find him and meet him so I can tell him? I'm like, yeah, dude, for sure. So, you know, we get him and
I love that you said, yeah, dude. That's amazing.
So she brought the guitar pick with her and, you know, I gave it to her and we're hanging out backstage and I'm like, okay, like,
and she has never been backstage, I imagine, at a
show.
No. Especially on a scale like
or
that.
On stage, yeah. No, not at all. So she got to share that with him, and I thought it was so important for her to get that reinforcement of like a sign from the universe, like, hey, you get to tell your favorite singer like what he's been able to do for you. And get to like live this moment on stage with him, and it was truly like a dream coming true,
you
right
mean, like,
in front
living
of my eyes.
The dream?
Yeah.
Trademark.
So she told him, I was just like, I was totally blown away. I've never, been doing Dream Days for 10 years, and I had never witnessed a specific moment like that where somebody had this thing that had gotten them through, you know, such.
Listen, I just want to say this on record. I have been going to see bands play, let's just say without my parents. I'll even talk about because I often talk about my very first show without my parents was seeing Weezer open for No Doubt in 1997. So I've been going to shows, plural, emphasis on plural, for 21 years. And I have at this point seen thousands of bands. That was one of the most powerful moments I've ever seen, and it didn't even involve them playing. Mm-hmm. I was there right now, Casey and I are about 3 feet from each other. I was maybe 5 feet from this. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing it, and I didn't want to interrupt.
Yeah.
Like, I saw it happening, them interacting, and the band, for the record, the band does not owe anyone anything. They don't have to talk to anyone. And I think people lose sight of that. And they were engaging
absolutely
with her so actively and listening, which is even more important because mm-hmm. her voice desperately needed to be heard. Mm-hmm. And I was 5 feet away and my buddy Dan was too. And I was just like, holy fuck, like, we're witnessing potentially the biggest moment in this young girl's life. And we don't want to fuck it up. So we just wanted to walk yeah. away. And then flash forward to, because my buddy Ron plays in As It Is, mm-hmm. and his family was in town too. So this was a big day for Ron. Right. He's from Michigan. So his family got to go on stage, and then he literally wanted me to go on stage and see it. And I saw this girl
yeah.
on stage rocking the fuck out.
She was cloud nine. And that's that right there, what you just said.
Well, that's why you do it. Literally.
Yeah, it's like the essence, you know, because the one thing that about living the dream is we can't cure cancer. We can't save, you know, you from these like horrible, you know, diagnoses that we've heard and stories we've listened to. But our goal is to recognize that while we cannot cure a lot of these things, what we can do is give you a moment to forget about everything you're going through and feel like a rock star. And exactly what you just said to everyone listening.
Wait, quote me and use quotes and then that say Scott Waldman copyright 2018. Say what, August 8th?
Yeah.
I think it is. Anyway, continue.
You know, she wasn't thinking about her spinal taps and her what's around the corner for what she has, and you know, the pain and suffering that comes along with living with her disease. She was watching her favorite band
in the moment,
holding that guitar pick, singing every song, and that right there is truly living the dream. You know, we want to help these kids forget about everything they're going through and just feel like a rock star. And I'm glad that you got to see that with your own eyes, because she was.
I did.
Dude, she was living her best life.
Well, I'm telling you this because, like, let's not even talk about, like, because I can only talk about my own experiences, right? So, and it's also called Waldman's Words. So, Warped Tour. I've been going to Warped Tours regularly. I think I've skipped 1 or 2 years since 1998. And this was 2018, so it's literally 20 years later. And I've played some dates of Warped Tour, and that was officially the coolest thing I've ever seen at any Warped Tour.
It really is.
Or at any concert. And I just want you to know that when I saw that, and I've been aware of your foundation, I've been aware of you, but not like, I don't know you. That's when I introduced myself to you and just immediately said, because Emily can attest to this, we're booked out until November 2019. I'm not trying to be cool here. I'm just saying we really are. And I said that this is a fucking priority. And
yeah. I mean, I feel like I'm kind of just like staying in the back of this one. I want to know more about it.
Yeah. It's also Burke's words.
But like, you know, I wasn't at that date. Like, I didn't see what you guys saw. And obviously, I don't see everything that you do on a daily basis. I know of your foundation, but just kind of like hearing it from the person that, you know, sets it up and like sees it firsthand. Even like Scott even got to go backstage and he saw it happening too. Like
literally fucking saw it happen. Like it's not like I felt like I was a bystander. I was like I don't want to screw this up. And I'm just gonna say this, and then we're gonna go into you, because believe it or not, like, we're 14 minutes and we have 6 more minutes of this segment. But trust me, I think that this sincerity and this story is gonna make this show the best episode ever. And we just literally aired the best episode ever a few weeks ago, and this destroys it already. No disrespect to Jasmine Valencia, you were great, but you're officially a silver medalist.
We love you, Jasmine.
You're great. You're an awesome guest. And Hannah Benabid, you were great too, but I'm fucking sorry, Casey is destroying all of these shows combined. So what happened was that I saw this happen and I knew who you were, and I was just like, oh my fucking god, like, I would love to have her on this show if one person listened. And that was our theory on it before. So I introduced myself. It was short and sweet. We exchanged information. And you're here now.
Yeah. And I really appreciate that. And, you know, living the dream, it takes a small village to make those dreams come true. We have an incredible team that just cares about this just like I do, and just like you guys now do, because they have seen the power of a dream coming true and they understand what it means. And you know, if people always ask me, okay, well, like, what's your vision for Living the Dream Foundation, and it's for every music fan living with a terminal illness to know that there's something that exists out there that wants to help make their dream come true.
And it's impossible for every single person to know, so you're living the dream will never end. But
it's an ambitious goal. No. I know that, but I will not ever go to sleep until I...
Well, you need fucking sleep for you to actually live your own dreams. But yeah, coffee. She's drinking her 18th cup of coffee. No, but for the record, I mean, it's physically impossible for that dream, which makes it awesome. Because you're going to keep fucking trying, and I hope, I hope for the day, I hope that you never stop.
Never. And these opportunities are the steps that help, you know, Living the Dream Foundation.
What do you mean?
Like being on this show able to spread our mission so that, you know, a friend that maybe knows, they don't even have to be going through it, but they know a friend who has a terminal illness, and now they can say, hey, I was listening to this podcast. You got to reach out to this foundation. So we sincerely appreciate that opportunity to be here.
No more love for us in this. I'll just say quickly that you are the biggest no-brainer guest we've ever had. And Emily can attest to me telling her that.
I can't attest
like,
to that.
Literally the biggest, so I've had Kevin Lyman on the show, literally. And you're more of a no-brainer than him. He changed my entire life.
Lyman is God.
I don't 100%. Use the word God. I don't like, we can talk about religion another time. Agnostic. Anyway, but the thing is Kevin Lyman is a rock god to me, and you are a life god to me.
Thank you.
And rock gods are amazing, and they do things to help people's lives, but you literally are doing something infinitely. And we said this off the air, but like, I'm a manager, I'm a musician, I have a radio show, I'm this. Actually, Emily is a manager now too, and she's an assistant, and we do a radio show, and we do this, and I know lots of people do lots of things, but like, one day with, as it is, in Detroit,
yeah,
literally, supersedes all of what we've done in our entire lives combined. I mean, Emily is 21, I'm 37.
We're not stating my age on air. I'm not going to.
You just turned 21. So, yeah. So I'm in a room with I'm in a room with two 21-year-olds. It's crazy. But so our years combined, I mean 37, I'm going to do this with a calculator.
Yeah, please, cuz I use my fingers to count.
No, it's fine. So I'm going to do this right now. So 37 years. I'm not going to times the days. I'm not going to round up. I'm not going to round down. Plus 21. So I knew it was 58. I was correct. Thank fucking God.
I did too. I just wasn't going to steal your thunder.
Hashtag, well, you're going to steal my thunder every time you talk because you're the best fucking guest. So the next segment is called Casey's Words. So, but just, so that's 58 years. That is a legal senior citizen because it's 55. ARP. So basically 58 years of life. And no disrespect to Emily and no disrespect to myself, you're one day with As It Is in Detroit Warped Tour. You're one fucking half hour. Supersedes everything I've ever done.
Oh, thank you. I don't know what to say. I just was there connecting the dots. It was, you know.
You were the conduit.
It was the band, and it was Jessica just being the badass that she is. There was just, I'm just there to help make it happen, but really.
You do more than that. You make it happen. You're the one who facilitates this. I mean, these bands, yes, they're the ones who will get the quote unquote glory or the glory, or they're the ones doing that. And I'm not diminishing them, but without you, maybe someone else would be doing what you're doing. But you know what? You're fucking doing it. And we have about 45 seconds till we go into the next segment where we could talk about two things, one of which is how this started, and two, the band Lit, which was unintentionally.
That's a weird coincidence.
Well, explain what exactly happened so that the people listening will understand why I just brought up the band Lit.
Yeah, so we were getting ready to start the show, and you had mentioned them, and I was like, oh, wait, what? How do you know them? And then I said, time out. I'm going to share on air a very strange overlap between that band and our foundation. It's kind of a cool story, actually.
So. Well, I hope they don't make you miserable being your own worst enemy.
Bennett.
See, we had a joke.
That joke was Lit.
AF.
I'll laugh at her.
Did you do that simultaneously? Did we just do AF simultaneously?
I didn't say AF. Did you guys say AF?
We just did. So the 21-year-old named Casey and the 37-year-old named Scott just did AF to keep up with the 21-year-old rolling her
eyes.
How
are we doing? Are we doing good?
I think you guys are doing great.
It's Lit today. AF, bro.
There we go.
Ooh, ruined it.
Oh, fuck. All right, so we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with Casey and I guess because we sometimes talk about an adjective, and I'm not even going to use the word humbled. I'm going to use the word gracious. What about you?
Important.
I think those are two really good words. What adjective would you use to describe the intro / your segment of this episode?
I don't know. You'll have to stay tuned to find out.
Ooh. Oh my God, keeping shit in suspense. Wow, you're living my dream. All right, stick around for Walden's Words with Miss Casey Q. Hello, we're back.
We are back.
We are back.
To the Future.
Ooh.
What? Back to the Future Part 2 is my favorite one, by the way.
Oh, I haven't seen it.
I'm sorry.
Do I need to?
Yeah.
Yeah?
When do you did like come movie? Out? Do you like movie films?
No.
You don't like movies?
I can't concentrate what? Long enough to watch a
Yo,
movie.
Yo, you've got ADD J here.
Did super bad.
Well, that's a movie.
I wouldn't know because I live under a rock when it comes to movies.
I mean, I think you need to get over that rock. You need to. And what's funny is that our last episode, which we won't pinpoint, we were talking about kicking rocks.
So yeah, it's like, everything comes back to, you know, rocks and dirt.
And roll.
The earth.
Yeah. Like the Warped Tour.
Yeah.
So before we get into Lit, I want to know, I guess, because you're 21, wink, what got you into music?
So Living the Dream was started in 2008 by Scotty Summers.
I want to talk about before that. I want to talk about what got you, K, Casey into music? Like, what was your
It's kind of bizarre. Okay, hold on.
You're doing great. This is an interview, and you're killing it.
So I actually was never really like into music. I never went to a concert.
What?
I just spilled water on myself.
I literally did.
Oh my God. I just you know, I listened to the radio, and like that was pretty much that was my extent with music. Okay,
that's most people.
So I'm gonna backtrack a little bit with Scotty Summers, who started Living
Wait,
the Dream.
Me? Scotty Summers, and it's summer. All right, sorry. Anyway, back to listening
Emily
to and sing.
Yeah,
no, Emily, my sister's name Emily too. She might. She has resting bitch voice, so no matter what, like even when she's stoked, she's like, "I'm having a good time," and I'm like,
"I have resting bitch voice, not robot voice."
You have robot bitch voice. Anyway, so back to this. Isn't this segment's already more lighthearted?
Yeah, totally. So Scotty has a terminal disease called cystic fibrosis.
Oh, way to change the mood.
but you would never know that about him though, unless somebody had told you prior or
it's not visible.
Yeah, it's a genetic disease of the lungs and the pancreas and
lungs, as you know. This I might cry, just so you know. It's okay. Waldman's preemptive words. Continue.
and, you know, when Scotty was born, the average life expectancy was 16 for somebody with cystic fibrosis. And so his mom sat him down when he was 12 years old, and he kind of knew something was wrong, but he didn't really know what it was. And so, you know, his mom explained to him, like, hey, you have cystic fibrosis, and Scotty asked the real questions. His mom gave him the real answers, and one of the things was how long do people live with this, and she said 16, and he said in that moment he you know, his mom was crying, his brothers were crying, and he said, I knew I had to be the strong one. And it was kind of in that pivotal moment where Scotty decided he was going to make his terminal disease very, very small, and the rest of his disease, or the rest of his life, like
more minor.
Totally. Okay. So he was going to make cystic fibrosis the smallest part of him.
And so that's thinking positively.
Yeah. And he was just going to be living the dream. And so
that seems to be a theme.
You know, and so he's told his mom, hey, I'm going to be the longest person ever with cystic fibrosis. And he's like, I didn't know how I was going to do that, but that's what my mom needed to hear. So fast forward, Scotty just turned, I think it's 52.
Wow.
Yeah, 51, Scotty. Sorry if I got it right. I know okay. You're past 50,
it's okay.
Scotty.
let me just say something as a 37-year-old. If you would have said I'm 33, I would not be offended.
And he, you know, so he's defied all the odds, and he has attributed his a lot of where he's at by his positive mindset and how he deals with things and how he deals with living with the terminal illness. So when he turned 40, he was like, wow, people would have bet their house I would not have lived till I was 40. I want to spend the rest of my life giving back and helping other kids that have terminal diseases. Make it the tiniest part of it. Make the rest of your life the biggest part. Be living the dream. And that's truly the message behind Living the Dream, is walking out and appreciating the sky is blue and the grass is green. And like you in your intro, I have a car.
I have air conditioning.
Yeah, totally. So
I just want to say something quickly.
Mm-hmm.
You and Scotty have something in common, that you're overly ambitious people, because you said, you know, you want every single person to know about this. And yeah. I'm telling you, that's factually impossible, mm-hmm. but you're going to keep fucking fighting. And
forever.
Scotty was expected to perish.
Absolutely.
And yes. He proved him wrong.
He did. And, you know, so at 40, he started Living the Dream Foundation. And, you know, he went to Kevin and Bob Hurley and a couple of his
Hurley
mentors.
Hurley as in Hurley Clothing?
Yeah.
Okay.
Living the Dream actually was born out of the company Hurley.
Well, I always liked it because of my Blink-182 fanboyness, but that's good to know. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So we, you know, that's the start of it. So I was a fan of Scotty and how he dealt with his terminal disease. So when he started Living the Dream Foundation, I was like, that's rad. I totally support it. So I had been.
How old were you at the time? You
don't have to age yourself. I was 21 or two.
Okay, so you're as old as you are now.
Yeah.
It's a paradox.
Exactly. It's just like Groundhog's Day. So.
Well, that's a movie. It's a movie.
It's because I live on Instagram. Pop
so
culture.
You see memes. That's how you know about movies. You don't watch movies because exactly you don't have the attention span.
If I ever send you a meme, never actually call me out on the movie because I definitely.
Flash forward to the future. I will fucking call you out on the movie. You're going to send me a meme for like Pulp Fiction. I'll be like, have you seen Pulp Fiction? And then I'll get that thing where like I see in ellipses that you're typing and then you'll never send the text.
And I honestly don't even know the significance of what you just said.
I'm going to bang my head into a wall.
Pulp Fiction. Sorry.
Only one of the top 10 best movies ever made. I highly recommend it. Wait, stop. Let's stop living the dream for a second. Emily Burke, I know that you were -4 when that movie came out. Have you seen the movie Pulp Fiction?
I've seen it, but I saw it in parts.
No, that's good. I'm happy.
So I've seen
you
it.
You haven't. You're laughing, and it's you. You literally laughed. Yeah. Casey just pointed at me, haha, and this makes her look silly.
So if you're asking if
I've seen it in parts.
If I've ever, like, sat down and watched it, no. But have I probably seen every part of the movie at some point in my life and put it together in my head, maybe?
It's like when Forrest Gump is on TV, I'll just watch the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
Like, no matter when it is. Anyway, back to Casey, and my recommendation for Casey is when she's not driving and stationary to watch Pulp Fiction.
I'll put that on my to-do list.
By far the most important thing in your life.
I'll mark it in my calendar. They're like, oh, Casey can't take that meeting at 3 o'clock, Pulp Fiction. That's all it says in her calendar.
But the movie is, I'm going to look this up right now. That movie is like 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Oh, what's this 2 hour and 45 minute time block you have in here?
What is Casey doing?
At least
you're being open and honest. Pulp Fiction. Wait, no. This is more important than anything we're doing with our lives. Anything. Pulp Fiction release date September 23rd, 1994. I'm trying to figure out how long it was.
Here's what I will do. I will watch the trailer.
Oh, that's so committal. Thank you for that.
I won't
understand it watching the trailer. You'll 2 hours and 34 minutes.
I got 2 minutes and 32 seconds.
I'm actually going to text you the trailer right now.
So Scotty started living the dream, and I was obviously a big fan of The Mission, and so I was like, cool, I'll help, and that's how I got into music. I had not ever, like, gone to a concert. I started going to shows by making dreams come true at them. So that's my answer to music.
No, that's a good question. It's an honest answer. Not everybody is into the quote-unquote cool music, and I could even argue that Warped Tour is not the cool music to some people like Coachella who would look down on it, you know?
Yeah.
What got me into music, I said this on the last show, was Weird Al Yankovic. Okay. And that's definitely not cool. So it's like, it is what it is. Emily.
It's cool if you were born in the 90s, if you're like a 90s kid.
I was born in 81. Emily, what got you into music? And I know the answer.
Pulp Fiction.
I don't know what.
I know the answer.
Now I don't know what I'm going to say.
Say the truth, and then I'm going to either admit that I was wrong or not. Yeah, please don't lie. We pride ourselves with honesty.
Well, mine was like Green Day's American Idiot.
I knew it.
Weezer.
What vinyl did I literally buy like just before I saw you?
Insomnia.
Yep. Green Day is my second favorite live band of all time and in my top five. Anyway, back to you. So what was next?
So I texted you
the Pulp Fiction trailer, which you're not going to watch.
I gave you my word. I'll watch that.
Notarized. Wait, I'm shaking. That was not a handshake.
Just a little secret handshake thing. Okay, so that's kind of how I started in music. So one of my this is where Lit comes into play. My like second thing I ever did with the foundation and music was Children's Hospital of Orange County used to have this thing called Radio Lollipop. I think it's like the Ryan Seacrest studio now. And what they do is it's like a full recording studio, and you can go and do kind of what we're doing now, but all the kids in the hospital can listen to it, and they'll bring like celebrities in and, you know, broadcast live through the hospital. So, you know, obviously Orange County being our backyard, we're like, oh, let's start bringing in rock bands to Children's Hospital Orange County. And this was
when I think of Orange County music, I think of Real Big Fish, I think of Thrice, I think of Avenged Sevenfold.
Yeah.
and Sevenfold, that was wrong. I think of Lit.
Yeah, totally. And Scotty.
No doubt.
Yeah, Scotty and Lit go way back. He has known them forever. And this was right around when their drummer, Alan, had just got diagnosed with.
Who ended up dying.
Correct.
Just so you know, this is a fucking emotional show. By the way, just so it's on record, and this is an offer I'm literally coming up with on the spot. Mm-hmm. We have about 8.5 minutes left. Mm-hmm. Would you want to do a second episode?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Totally. Then we will. Then so this way you don't have to feel rushed.
Okay.
And we will run them in succession.
Perfect.
So we will figure out a time for that and make it happen.
Okay.
Deal.
Did you do the secret handshake thing again?
Boom. Because we literally don't have too much time, and this is an episode worthy of a part two.
All right.
I agree.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, literally. Have I ever done this?
No, you haven't. And
in
honestly,
fact, I'm
like,
against it.
I like agree with it. Like I said, I've been standing by and just listening to this, and like I think, you know, it's needed.
Dope AF.
Lit. So Scotty and the guys in Lit have been friends for a very long time. So when when everyone had found that out about Alan, Scotty said, you guys, while Alan is still here, should come and do a Radio Lollipop Living the Dream event. So we had Lit come down to the hospital, and Alan's there, and I will show you that video after this podcast.
You can text it to me, and maybe I'll watch
it. Oh, so he's got collateral right now.
Yeah, I have 2 minutes and 19 cents of something not substantive, like a Pulp Fiction, and your thing, which is fucking beautiful. So yeah, I'll watch it. You quote me.
So we had Lit come down, and we bought a bunch of clothes from Hurley, and we had a bunch of kids come down, and Lit performed acoustic songs and Radio Lollipop, and then we took the band up to visit kids. We had kids call in, and they're like, come visit me in room, you know, 378, and we're like, okay, cool, we'll be there. And so that was one of the last things that Alan got to do. He ended up passing away shortly after, but I think it's just so cool that he added to that already phenomenal legacy he had been living. And one of the last things he got to do is give back, which speaks volumes about him as a person and the band. You know, Lit, they're great dudes. We love them. I mean, this was literally back in like 2008.
This is literally. I just want to extend on your point and piggyback from it that it takes a magnificent amount of strength to, while you're going through the shittiest shit ever, help someone else. Mm-hmm. And I am glad you told me that story, because I had known that Lit's drummer passed away. Mm-hmm. And I knew nothing about his person, but now I love him.
Yeah, he was something very special. So that was when you had brought up Lit randomly. I was like, oh my gosh.
Shout out to Jonathan Wilson, who yeah. I'm eating lunch with, who's Lit's agent. Just wanted to say that on record.
Yeah, you know, that was, I think, the second Living the Dream event we had
Living
ever.
Living the Dream.
Living the Dream event we had ever done in the history of our foundation. And Lit is, that's they're very important to us. So.
Well, they're important to me too. So we've got 5 minutes, but do not feel rushed, because mm-hmm. we will schedule another episode. Not today. We'll schedule it another day, and mm-hmm. you'll come back, and the three of us, if Emily's in town, we'll grab a bite.
Cool.
And we'll actually like have some fun. Even though this is fun, you know, this is work, and you've never done this, and admittedly, I'm sure you were a little bit nervous to speak for about 40 minutes.
Well, Emily, why don't you tell them what I said when you're like, hey,
I love how you're, wow, this is Casey's words now. Interview Emily.
Well, Emily, you were like, hey, this is how it's going to go down. You're going to do 2 20-minute things. And what did I say to you when you said that?
She asked, what if I get everything out in like 12 minutes?
That's literally
like,
exactly
do?
What I said.
Well,
I
then
like,
then hashtag you're welcome.
And I'm like, I don't think that's going to happen.
Yeah, I can tell you, as someone who's been doing this show for a bit, that let's just say you didn't have anything to say, I'd still be able to talk a lot. Yeah, it's fine. But enough about me, enough about Emily's incredible prowess. So we have a little bit of time. Can you tell every single person listening, and then let's make a note of this for the next interview, which mm-hmm. we will schedule. We'll talk about as much as possible, as many details as possible about the foundation. Mm-hmm. But how can people learn more about it? I mean, be so specific.
Yeah.
Like, the websites. How can they get involved? You have 4 minutes. I will starting shut the fuck up now.
So Living the Dream, we if you or someone you know is living with a terminal illness, and we would love to help make their dream come true, and you can submit your story to Dream Day at ltdfoundation.org, and from there you'll get an application and we'll get you sorted. And you can visit our website, ltdfoundation.org. We're on Instagram at ltdfoundation, and
I'm following. You got one extra.
I gotta follow. And see, I did that in way less than 4 minutes.
You did, but what else do you have to? I mean, that was what they would call an elevator pitch. But I mean, we have 3 minutes now, and this isn't to put you on the spot. This isn't like get the fuck out. This is like you're coming back, which has never been done. Yeah. And it honestly wasn't my plan to do that.
Well, I'll also add in that if you're listening to this on the Adobe website, I will include every single website into the description. So if you're like on the player, you could look above what you're listening to right now, and you should see every single piece of information, website, social media, everything for this foundation. So you do not have to look hard at all.
And if you're on iTunes,
Emily's gonna do the hard work for
you.
Well,
yeah. I have to do everything except for Emily having to do it. No, but on, and here's the thing about iTunes, which is great. And we're not getting money from this. Like, this is like, I'm just saying, stating a fact. The podcast app, you can download this episode and every single one ever the other episode for free, but let's not even talk about the other ones. You can download this episode and literally listen to it forever on your phone for free. So if you're missing something, just hashtag rewind, be kind, rewind. You might not get that reference, but nope. Casey and I do. So I guess, can you tell me?
Oh my gosh, I honestly, when you said that, I'm like, what's he talking about? And then I was like,
Blockbuster video.
I did, yeah.
Wow, what a difference. What is the adjective that you were holding back from us?
Oh, I didn't have one.
Oh, I knew that it was a bait and switch. Okay, fine. Well, you have a minute and a half to come up with an adjective, and we will sit in silence until you do.
Lit.
Okay, I mean, that was good. I'll
is
take
that an
it.
Adjective?
Yeah.
Yeah.
An adjective describes
a
noun?
Yeah, it describes, like, this place is lit.
Fam. Yeah, so my degree's in English, and okay. So that means I'm fluent. And basically, that's an adjective. I'm going to give a different adjective to describe segment one. No, this is segment two of interview one, because we're going to do
right.
Interview two. Wow. I'm offering to have a segment. You're calling me out on my own show.
She feels comfortable now. She's like, come on, let's
She's
do it.
Feeling
she
it.
Feels
yeah.
comfortable and looks constipated. It's weird. What?
What?
What? What? No, I'm kidding. I am emotionally constipated. No. Basically, the adjective that I would use to describe this show from our perspective, from the Burke and Waldman perspective, is fucking proud. That is the adjective that I would use to describe is fucking proud, because this is the coolest moment of my Adobe career, without a shred of doubt, and it's because of you.
Thank you.
Emily?
I honestly agree. I feel like, I don't know, this episode, it feels different than the others.
Well, it started off somber.
Yeah,
and
not just because you were a great guest. I know this is your first
podcast.
Then somehow
we started talking about Pulp Fiction.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you fucked
happens.
That up.
Hey, how about when I come back for the second show, I will have watched the trailer to Pulp Fiction.
I mean, that's so lame, because you can literally watch it from when you parked your car to walking here. If you watch the movie, I would love that, because we could all talk about it.
I don't know if I've ever concentrated on anything for 2 hours.
I don't know if you should admit that on your segment. So let's end right here.
Okay.
KCQ, Living the Dream Foundation. Fist bump.
Boom.
Emily Burke?
Yes.
Close us out with whatever you want to say.
All right. Make sure you go check out their social media, follow them, get involved if you can. And it was great having you here. I can't wait for the second episode. Hopefully I'll be here for it. And have a good day, everybody. Just appreciate everything and everyone. Tell the people you love that you love them. And
I love you, Kelly.
I love you too, Kelly.
I love you, Elliot. He's my dog.
Oh.
Kellyet. Let's end on this note.
Yeah.
Emily literally loves my dog.
Yeah, his dog's name is Gucci. Found out she has no teeth. I would die for Gucci Waldman. It's my favorite Waldman.
That's rad.
That's fuck. I love wait, it. Wait, that's not fuck you. That sucks. All right, stick around for the end of this episode. Bye.